The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Joanna.
Hi, my name is Joanna, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, so my stats, I got sober October of 2011. I have a sponsor now, and I'm actually reworking the steps. So what it was like. So I've seen people come stand here and talk about their families, and some people say that they had nice families. And a lot of the times I'm like, I want to meet them because, you know, I grew up in a little bit of chaos, but coming here more often, I realize that that's not the case. You know, my parents did do the best they can. So anyways, ever since I was young, I always, like I saw this happen in my household. It was a bit chaotic, and I had a ton of anxiety growing up, and even as a child, I learned here what a geographic was. But even as a little child, like 15, 16, I played geographics as well. My parents were separated. So, you know, I would spend some time at my dad's house, and I would also spend some time at my mom's house. And the funny, well, not so funny, but as a child, I did the geographics. Like, I would get upset at my mom, and then I would go to my dad's house. And then I would get upset at my dad's house, then I would go to my mom's house. So even then, that's when it started. By the time I was like 18 or 19, I started drinking, but I was drinking by myself. Like I was drinking, I wasn't drinking in the outside because I was quote unquote a good girl and I didn't want anybody to see me and it was illegal to drink at my age here in the United States. So I had my sister's ID, so if I was hanging out with my sister or just older cousins, I would use my sister's ID. But it really took off at about 21. That's like the moment I had arrived because I didn't have to hide it anymore. Like I didn't have to drink at the house or like hide it behind a guard because I'm like, ooh, if he knows I'm 18, I'm going to get in so much trouble. But anyways, 21 was my first blackout and it was a big party that day. I actually had like a free drink ticket and I didn't get to use it. And then I got home and then I woke up in my outfit and then I was upset. I was like, I had this free drink ticket and I didn't even get to use it. But I didn't even get to, like, I was already drunk. I was already blacked out. And I lost my shoes. I lost everything. I didn't know what happened. But anyways, that continued at 22, 23. It was blackout after blackout. But anyways, after my 21st birthday, outside help is a big part of my story, so I was going to a therapist. I knew I was crazy, but I didn't think I had a drinking problem, right? So I went to my therapist, and I told her, I'm like, I think I'm an alcoholic. And the crazy thing about it is that I don't know where it came from. I don't know where I learned that. It was just like subconscious. And then, of course, she started asking me the questions. She was like, do you crave it? And then I was like, what's a craving? And she was like, you know, like you would eat cake or something. Do you crave it? Like if you wanted cake kind of thing, like a sweet tooth. And she more or less was, and then of course I said no, you know, like I didn't know, like I kind of didn't know what it was at the moment, but I know the answer was going to be no, obviously, because if I answered yes, I was an alcoholic. And she tried her best as well, but she tried to help me drink safely. She was like, maybe have a drink 1 hour and then drink some water and then have another drink. I didn't do that at all. I just needed her validation that I wasn't an alcoholic. So, After that, a few weeks later, it was the same thing. I was just drunk, curbside, and the only thing I have to say is it was really scary. You know, I felt taken care of because nothing happened to me, but I'm just happy that I don't have to live like that anymore. But anyways, about 23, I was in a really dangerous relationship, and he was an alcoholic as well, and he was my drinking buddy, and I felt like he was... drinking buddy. Oh, he drank worse than me. So, of course, I didn't have a problem. So, at the same thing, I went to my therapist's office and I would talk about the relationship. And she was like kind of telling me that it wasn't a healthy one. So, I stopped seeing her, unfortunately. She wasn't telling me what I needed, well, what I wanted to hear, obviously. So, quickly after that, I hit my bottom with him. Like I said, he used to drink more than me, so I would sit there and be like, you know, you need to get sober. It's like so dangerous, blah blah blah. But anyways, long story short, we broke up, and for about I ran back to therapy because we were already broken up. There was nothing else she could tell me that I didn't like. So I was in the therapist's office, and she was asking me, we were just talking, I was just talking about myself again. I was like, oh, my life is over, blah, 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 I'm so crazy. And then she would sit there, and she was telling me that, just while I was talking to her, she was like, how much do you drink? And then again, the question came up, and honestly, I probably said two or three, but I don't know. You know, like, we don't sit at the bar, tally our drinks or anything. But then she kind of said that she thought I had a problem. And it was seen more because I was seeing a psychiatrist, and I asked him, I'm like, can I drink on these medications? And he said, he was like, well, if you have one drink, it will feel like two. And I thought I hit the jackpot. So again, I told my therapist this, and she was more or less scared for me. So I ended up rolling into my first meeting. It was on September 12th of 2011. I remember it clearly because the guy gave me a big book and he signed it. And I remember walking in there, and we were reading from the big book, the stories, and one of the stories said that she has like a sober baby, her and her husband are sober, and they don't drink around their kids. And I thought that was, like, it shocked me, you know. I don't have kids, but I thought like, I couldn't imagine not drinking around my kids. So the seed was planted. I didn't get sober until October, but that few weeks I was still out drinking. I also had a drinking buddy as well, and we broke up. So then that's when I was like officially ready to commit to this program. The questions I had when I first came here was like people would say like, oh, I have 14 days, I have 20 days. And my question was, I only drank on the weekend. So I'm like, oh, does that mean like I only have 2 days? And then like the next week, Saturday and Sunday would be 4 or 5 days. But that's not true. You just count your days on in. I've been told in the past as well that it's kind of like an onion, you know, sobriety. So it's just like what will be peel off year by year, and everybody has their own time. I know this year was a big year for me because I was really, 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 really messy, and it was just something I struggled with, and I didn't know what to do. My room looked like a really bad fourth step, and my thing was like, why couldn't I manage it? And it was just because I was just crazy in my head. And until I peeled off certain layers, I was able to manage my room. Of course, I got help, but I've been able to keep it off. And sobriety for me is like that every time. It's just like this year, I'm like waiting to see what other layer is waiting to peel off. But anyways, I would also like to say that I also got my self-respect back here with all this clarity that I have. Like, I'm not drunk on Saturday and Sunday. There's not, like, a lot of to pick up. That's what happened to me year one. You know, like, what lets me sleep at night is I didn't get sober to be in chaos. Like, I just want to be healthy. So, and with that, thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Jimmy.
Good evening. I'm Jimmy. I'm an alcoholic. First of all, it's just really great to be up here. Thank you for the Atlantic Group for having me up here to speak. Just a little bit about me. My sobriety date is March 27th, 2014. My sponsor is Dayton. I've been through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, growing up, I had a pretty supportive family. I grew up outside of the city in central Pennsylvania. I can't really say I wanted for a lot materially. My family provided me a lot of great opportunities. I went to good schools. I had a very loving mother and father. Despite all of that, I still felt like I was kind of on the outside looking in. I kind of remember feeling like all the other kids my age were born with some kind of manual, and they forgot to pack that for me. So I just felt like I was always kind of a half step off, and even though I was pretty well liked by my peers, and I got good grades, and I was just generally well liked. I just felt like something was wrong. You know, it turned out that was alcohol for quite a while. So my first drink is very similar to my last drink. It's kind of very indicative of what my drinking career was going to be like. Besides a few sips of beer from when I was like real young, my first like real drunk, I was like 16, and it was in my basement alone with a bottle of Jack Daniels. And so from that first drink to the last drink, it was just a lot of damage. Wrecked cars, ruined friendships, missed life events with my family. Just a little example of unmanageability. I applied to grad school for a couple of years ago, and I had to go through my transcripts, and I had like 8 of them that I had to go through because I got kicked out of a lot of colleges. I had a lot of disciplinary problems. I mean, as soon as I got alcohol into my body, I went from like this pretty nice, reasonably intelligent, well-mannered kid to just an animal. And who knows where I'd wake up the next day? Who knows what tree or house or garden shed I could find myself in? That's kind of funny, but like the consequences got worse and worse. I mean, it went from getting kicked. It went from like I woke up like in a puddle, of God knows what in somebody's backyard, to I'm getting disciplined at college, to I'm kicked out of college, to DUIs, which unfortunately I have several of them racked up, to bodily harm, like severe bodily harm to myself, not to mention the peril and fear that my family went through. So after a couple of run-ins with the law, I found it necessary to get sober just to kind of get the state off of my back. So I did what a lot of people do in that situation. It's a good one. It's going into treatment. I heard about AA. I had always sort of like just thought it was a bunch of like 70-year-olds in a church basement ripping cigarettes. I learned a little bit about the 12 steps. I got a little bit of time away from alcohol, and that that immediate craving for a drink was lifted, and kind of not long after I was out, maybe I kind of white-knuckled it for maybe a year, house arrest for about 6 months really helped with that. I was, you know, I was pseudo-sober, I felt like I could drink again. So I did, and it just got worse and worse. Within 2 weeks, I had two more DUIs. That's four now. The last one, it had gotten so bad. I felt so empty on the inside. I just decided that it was time to end my own life, and I plowed my truck into a guardrail at about 60 miles an hour, and I broke my neck and my back, and I was like flayed out on the pavement, and I can't even kill myself when I'm drunk. I'm so useless. So, but here's the thing. The first thing when I came to, the first thought I had was, I'm still alive. Darn. Second was, I can't wait to drink again. That kind of physical harm wasn't enough to keep me from just desperately needing a drink. So, treatment again. That's a couple of months. I'm here in New York. I've got maybe 3 months away from alcohol, and I'm told to go to a meeting. I was told to go to a meeting by a member of this group who pointed me to a sponsor. He said, this person could help you out. That was Yoni. He's out in LA now. He took me through the steps. And at this point, I felt so desperate. It was because I wasn't really afraid of dying. I was afraid that I was just like going to be in that place between living and dying, where I was sort of just this machine, this really poorly programmed computer that was only capable of one thing, and that's drinking. You know, it's this sort of in-between state, and that's not life. I wanted to live. So I was kind of impatient going through the steps, at least at first, because I kind of thought of it as a race. And then I heard that saying, I wish you a long and slow recovery, and it started to make sense a little bit more. Things started to kind of change for me when I, after stalling on my fourth step and finally doing my fifth step with my sponsor at the time, and having all of this fear, because I was carrying a lot of shame with me, and to sort of let that go, and kind of give it up, and have another person as a witness to it, and for them to just be like, oh, like here's something that I do that's totally worse, felt amazing. That I wasn't alone, and I didn't have to carry this burden anymore. And so when it came time to do my sixth step, I sat alone in my room for about an hour, just meditating. I can't really say a lot happened right then, but the next morning I woke up and I felt so much lighter. I felt like something had really changed in me. And life still went on, and there were some difficulties that I went through, but I didn't have to let those things drag me down. The only way I can really describe that feeling is a feeling of lightness, and that was, and still is, God. So the spiritual experience for me has been one that has been constantly evolving, and it has continued to evolve through the steps, and I've found that I have to continue to work harder and harder at this, but that's such a pleasure to me, because I've come to know all of you, and I've come to fall in love with this program. I love AA. I can't tell you how much I love AA, especially this group. And with that, thank you very much.